Before I start my testimony, I just wanted to put in a little warning that it touches upon topics which may be close to your heart, or it might reopen memories you'd rather forget or are living through right now. This is just my experience, and I prayed for God's guidance in writing this, so I hope my words are supportive and ministering, not painful. And if it is hard to hear, I'm very sorry. So when Sarah approached me to ask if I would talk briefly about a character from the Bible who has inspired me from a prayer point of view, one immediately sprung to mind, and that was Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel in the Old Testament. The first two chapters of 1 Samuel describe her experiences of her journey to becoming Samuel's mother. She is married to a man called Elkanah and is one of his two wives. The other wife has had many children, while Sarah has not had any at the beginning of the book. So I'll just read a bit of the passage for you. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." I came across this passage and Hannah's story at the time when I needed it most. I'd been told at the age of 18 I'd find it very difficult to have children, which didn't really register fully at the time. I was off to university and it was just not on my radar. So fast forward to meeting Dave, getting married, and we find ourselves very happily and unexpectedly expecting. Unfortunately, we lost our first baby at 3 months. A friend from our church at the time brought this passage to my attention when they prayed for me, and I really identified with Hannah's grief. Her bitter weeping was certainly not far from home. But what then struck me was that she took her grief to the Lord, and her prayer was not what I would have expected from a woman in her position. She's grieving, and yet her prayer is not just, "Lord, please give me a child. Please give me what I want." She makes a vow that if the Lord were to bless her with a son, she would give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. The fact that her faith was so unwavering, she knows her Heavenly Father works for her good, that she would be willing to give up her much-wanted child and give him back to God for his purposes. I was really challenged by it firstly, as I was still very much at the worried stage, wondering if this was ever going to happen again, or if I'd ever be able to carry a child to full term, a children even in God's plan for our marriage, then even running ahead to could we adopt. The questions were just endless. But reading Hannah's experience and her attitude towards her prayers made me realise that all I needed to do was to pray. God knew I was hurting. He knew I was grieving for the baby I'd lost and had so many hopes for. He knew that at times I was angry with him, but he wanted me to talk with him, as Hannah did, pouring out her soul. And secondly, I was challenged by her vow to give her son back to the Lord. She follows through with her promise in the next passage. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah said to her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord," and he worshipped the Lord there. Would I have been willing to do that? Would I have been willing to take my very much longed for first child back to the temple, particularly after having spent the first 2-3 years spending every single minute together? Could I have bared to part with them after wanting them for so long? The author even comments just how young Samuel was. "What I came to realise was that children are a gift from God. They are loaned to us for such a brief period of time, made in his image, made to reflect his glory in an imperfect, sinful world. I felt Hannah was so brave making this promise. I don't know if I could have done the same, but she showed through her prayers she trusted God completely on this issue. So I've since gone on to have 2 lovely children, and whenever I feel a little bit wobbly about certain things, if they have health issues or issues at nursery or at school, I worry about what their future holds, I find I come back to Hannah's prayer. It reminds me that my children belong to a caring, loving, heavenly Father who always looks after them, even if it doesn't immediately feel that way at times. I didn't go and sacrifice an ox when they were born, but we have committed them to the Lord by baptizing them as an outward symbol and also in private prayer. I pray they will come to the decision to follow Christ for themselves, knowing whatever God's plan is, it will be for their good." And then finally, after giving Samuel back to the Lord's care, she gives a prayer of thanksgiving. So imagine praying for years for a child, only then to be given a child and then have to give him back. And then on top of that, give thanks for that. Seems so countercultural, but her heart rejoices in the Lord and she acknowledges that he is in complete control. "The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honour." Thank you.